My name is Michael Swinwood. I'm a lawyer from Ottawa, Canada, and I practice law under an organization called Elders Without Borders. Elders Without Borders is a nonprofit corporation inspired by Grandfather William Kamanda, the spiritual elder of the Algonquin Nation. Grandfather William Kamanda passed into the spirit world on August the 3rd, 2011. His spirit continues, however, and it continues in all of us who ever knew and heard the teachings of William Kamanda about love and compassion. Last night, a video was sent to me by a woman whose name is Susan Stanfield, who is described as a human rights activist. And in this video, she invited people to speak about genocide. And so in response to her video, I would like to speak about the issue of genocide and the proposition that Susan has put forward in her video. Essentially, the proposition that she has put forward is that we are presently in genocide. And let's examine that just for a bit. Genocide is defined by the International Convention on the Crime and Punishment of Genocide of 1949 as five distinct matters: outright killing, imposing conditions of life designed to cause mental or physical harm, imposing conditions of life designed to bring about the extermination of a group, sterilization of women, and transferring groups of children from one group to another group, which is what we suffered in this country called Canada under residential schools, an act of genocide. Presently, one can examine the second definition of genocide, which is imposing conditions of life designed to cause mental or physical harm. If we examine the situation that we presently find ourselves in on December 4th, 2020, we can see all around us much, much mental and physical harm. A history lesson is in order, a history lesson for the foundation of what I'm about to say in relation to the concept, the definition, and the act of genocide. By way of background, I practiced law from 1974 until about 1992 in the traditional way, you can say, and then had an epiphany. And overnight found myself walking with Grandfather William Kamanda. I took a sabbatical from practicing law for 5 years, and with William Kamanda and his sacred fire keeper and my wife Susan, our daughter Allura, we interviewed Native elders all over North and South America. And from these wisdom keepers, we were pointed in the direction of the day that we are seeing now. All of the prophecies point to exactly the situation that we find ourselves in. The Seven Fires prophecy, the wampum belt that Grandfather William Kamanda carried, the white buffalo calf prophecy, the eagle and the condor prophecy, and on it goes. But let's just delve into history a little bit. Well, just perhaps as continuing the way of foundation, I can tell you that Grandfather William Kamanda asked me to go back to the practice of law, and he was the inspiration for the foundation of Elders Without Borders, and it is dedicated to the sovereignty and self-determination of the Indigenous people. In undertaking this in the year 2000, I came to know a man by the name of Stacy Amakwabi, who lives in French River up in Georgian Bay. And Stacy and I have been working together now on 18 years, along with my colleague Liza Swale, who has also been working together for 18 years. And what we had to do at the very beginning was look at how did this happen to the Native people? How was this brought about? And of course, the answer is genocide. Let's begin with this. In 1213, King John of England made a concession to the Pope of Rome. The concession was based on the following. The king had been excommunicated by the pope, and this did not sit well with King John. And so when he went back imploring to the pope through his emissaries to be let back into the Holy Roman Church, the pope imposed a request and a requirement. And it was as follows: if you give an oath of fealty, we will let you back in to the church. And so the concession of King John, May of 1213, speaks as follows: I, King John, hereby give over the sovereignty of Great Britain and Ireland in perpetuity to Pope Innocent III, and a stipend annually shall be paid by Great Britain and Ireland. And so, in making this concession to the Pope, the Queen of England, Elizabeth II, is bound by that oath of fealty. And therefore, she reports to Rome, and she pays the annual stipend on behalf of Great Britain and Ireland. And so when we are talking about the issue of sovereignties, we should be very mindful about where they rest and where they reside. Instrumental in the genocide of the indigenous people that commenced in 1493 in Hispaniola, which is now Dominican Republic and Haiti, Cortes came with a requerimiento, the requirements, and basically said, I'm here on behalf of the Lord of the Universe, the Pope, and the Lord of the Land, the King, and we shall have someone come here and bring you a book with teachings in it. And should you accept the crown and the cross, we will grant you privileges and exemptions. Should you tarry, we'll kill you. Pretty basic. And it's all about putting propositions in front of people that basically say, accept this paradigm that I'm offering you, and I will give you privileges and exemptions, not freedom, not sovereignty, not growth, but I will give you privileges and exemptions. So be mindful of what I'm saying about that as we go through this little lesson in history. Canada, which considers itself a sovereign nation, is not. It's a colony of Great Britain and Ireland, and therefore, by virtue of the sovereignty having been given over to the Pope of Rome, must report to the Pope. Interesting sidebar in relation to the political science of the world, let's just say, we can sum it up pretty quickly with three board games: Monopoly, Chess, and Risk. And in Monopoly, what we'll do is in the agenda that's put in front of you right now, is we're going to take away all the cars and the properties and all the money, and we're going to implement something else in terms of currency and the way we will be able to pay each other. In the game of Risk, we're going to take away all the bombs and the tanks from making noise, and we'll put something else in there called a pandemic. And in the chess game, the only thing we're going to change on the chess game is we're going to get rid of more vassals. So the pawns will be much less. And then the political science game of the world will continue. It may come as a shock to a lot of people, but the Vatican is owned by the Rothschilds. The Rothschilds pretty well found themselves in there in 1880 when they lent an enormous amount of money to the Vatican, pretty well became the banker for the Vatican. And now the Bank of America, which owns Merrill Lynch, is owned by the Vatican and the Rothschilds. Pretty quick, it's not hard to figure out certain human beings on the planet Earth who are running into a control game. Let's talk about the Federal Reserve Board. Federal Reserve Board is not, it's not really even a board, it's a Federal Reserve System. And the Federal Reserve System is private international banking, mostly owned by the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. Now, this is all chronicled, this is not anything new. This has been going on for a long time. You can go back to the Second World War if you want, and you can look at the cast of characters that were involved in the Second World War. And you can look at the Americans, and you can look at the Germans, and you can look at the French, and you can look at the English, and you can look at international financing at the time. And if you wanted to really know the story, you'd go and look at the formation of the Bank of International Settlements in 1930. And you'd see how the Bank of International Settlements, which really is composed of most of the governors of the central banks of the world, certainly 16 is the number of those who represent the business of the BIS, Bank of International Settlements, actually put together in 1930 for the purposes of overseeing and accounting for the reparations that Germany had to pay from the First World War. And it evolved into a mega, mega bank with no government oversight, nor corporate oversight, with its own charter that basically says during peace or war, you cannot expropriate any of our stuff. It's immune from you. Let's throw in a little bit of Bill Gates and the Global Alliance of Vaccination and Immunology. Let's talk about Dr. Fauci and his relationship to China and Wuhan Laboratory. Let's begin to connect the dots in relation to the same kind of financiers who financed the Second World War with an agenda of extermination of people. And in that agenda of extermination people, what they first did was they marked the people. And so they put the Star of David on them. And so here in front of you, you've been marked with your mask. And then what they do is they transport people. And here you're going to be transported pretty soon to a place of vaccination. And when they vaccinate people, it was the same thing that happened to the Jewish people. They harmed them. That's what was the purpose of the marking, the transportation, and the act. So the scenario is absolutely the same. The players are the same. Now, there's no way I can convince those who say, oh, well, this guy's really kind of out there. He doesn't know what he's talking about because we know the science. And here's where the rubber hits the pavement, ladies and gentlemen, because there is no way that the WHO can qualify what they have declared as a pandemic as being a pandemic. It's a false pandemic. The hoax is in the testing. And the PCR testing is quite useless. So what we do is we use the testing for the purposes of saying infections are increasing everywhere. Media is completely controlled so that the media reports all these stories. They would call me an anti-vax idiot in the same way that the poor member of parliament for the Conservatives has been dubbed the anti-vax idiot. Because it becomes us and them, or what I would like to say is other, that we all become other. We're the other in the equation of the agenda of an elitist group on the Mother Earth. This is a very long story about an elitist group on the Mother Earth controlling. I mean, if you want to go back to the Crusades, you can see that what the Crusades were about is us versus them. So they were other. In the papal bulls of the 1490s, the 1500s, the 1600s, all the way through, you're going to see the description of other subjects and vassals, other Indian tribes. All of this reference to other is going to reverberate through history. The Treaty of Paris, let's just talk about the Treaty of Paris for a moment. To know that the Treaty of Paris was negotiated by the Knight of the Royal Order of the Garter. Oh, the Order of the Garter, what would that be? Oh, well, the Order of the Garter, that was something that was founded in 1344 by the King of England. And today the Queen of England is the head of the Royal Order of the Garter. The Royal Order of the Garter has a symbol, which is a lion on its hind legs with a reptilian tail and a reptilian tongue, and a unicorn with a chain across its body, and in the middle, a motto, Honi soit qui mal y pense, Shame on him who thinks evil of it. Think of that. Shame on him who thinks evil of it. In Virginia, which is not a state, it's a commonwealth. It's the Commonwealth of Virginia. You can look it up right now. The seal for the Commonwealth of Virginia. The symbol is a woman in a Roman toga holding her hand on her breast, standing astride a woman who's prone on the ground, looking quite dead. And the motto is, Sic semper tyrannis, thus always tyranny. This is what was shouted out by John Wilkes Booth when he shot Abraham Lincoln. It probably should have been shouted out when they shot John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Mahatma Gandhi, all of the truthsayers who were speaking to what I'm speaking to, which is the international financing group of elitists who run the world. Even Rothschild himself, I think, was the one who said, give me their currency and I care not who makes the law. All you need to do is go on and search for yourself all about the House of Rothschild, the Rockefellers, the elitists, the Bank of International Settlements, the Bank of America, the trail I've told you about historically that links the Queen of England to the Pope, thereby linking Canada to the Queen of England to the Pope. Let's go back and talk about the pandemic again just for a second. Ask yourself this question. Ask yourself this question. If 99.08% of those who get COVID recover, why do we need to alter the DNA of human beings in order to return to normal? That's not normal. Is it possible that humanity is being tricked? Is it possible that humanity is being duped? Is the media prepared to come to my front door, having seen this video, knock on the door and say, gee, that's quite interesting what you're talking about. Could we interview you about that? Not going to happen. This is not going to happen. So ask yourself that question. What does censorship look like? When we're talking about isolation, when we're talking about lockdown, you should really look at the definition of the crime of apartheid. And the crime of apartheid is developing and implementing policies designed to dominate a group and continuing those policies with the goal of complete domination. You have to ask yourselves the question, what does this look like? Does it look like perhaps there may be some manufactured evidence in relation to pandemic? Is it possible that there is manufactured evidence in relation to all the ideas of being able to provide a vaccine with no testing on an urgent basis for the safety and health of everyone involved? Seems to me to be quite a story. Now let's just examine it from the Canadian perspective right now. You should know that the order in council that was promulgated by the federal government in the first instances here said in the very beginning lines, due to a pandemic declared by the WHO. So we just examine this for a moment. This seems to be the criteria by which they declared a pandemic and they promulgated regulations under the Quarantine Act. And as we're moving through this agenda, by the way, this agenda is not something that came out of the back pocket of the Liberal Party or Justin Trudeau. It was handed to him. You'll hear him when he was in the United Nations, when he was talking about there has to be a reset. He's linked into the ideas of the World Economic Forum, who talks about economic reset, and who you hear the Pope talking about economic reset. And we'll come back to the Pope about what the Pope has to say in a moment. You have to ask yourself the questions. If, for a moment, there's a possibility that the science does not support what they're saying, and if, for a moment, the science in relation to the PCR test is not good, not valid. If, for a moment, you think that maybe perhaps the media is controlled, ask yourself this. Where did you see that before? Where did you see censorship? Where did you see marking? Where did you see agendas that were designed to corral people? Where did you see that before? And when you answer that question, then you're going to have to come to grips and face up to the definition of genocide. You'd have to see that there's an agenda at work here. Let me talk about the Pope just for a moment. He wrote an encyclical, a letter. It's called, it's below a papal bull, but it's to the faithful. It's a pronouncement by His Holiness in relation to world events. In 2006, I believe, I can't remember the date exactly, could have been 08, he did an encyclical letter, Laudato Si, about humans and nature. And recently, in October of 2020, his encyclical letter is entitled Fratelli Tutti, Brothers All. You have to read carefully words that are written by others than the person speaking the words. John Eric Phelps wrote a book entitled The Vatican Assassins, The Army of the Pope. And he chronicles the Society of Jesus, the Jesuits, and chronicles every 100 years of history, dating back to Ignatius of Loyola in 1544, when the Jesuits were first put together. And the Jesuits were put together for the purposes of carrying out the agenda of the Pope. And you have to appreciate back in the 900s, 800s, all the way through up until today, that Rome commenced as known as the Holy Roman Emperor. The Holy Roman Empire and the Holy Roman Emperors were the electors, and they pretty well ran the show then, and nothing has changed. It's still the same, only this one is much more efficient. Because if I told you that the Rothschilds own the Vatican, then what I told you is they own the Bank of America, and then what I told you, if the Pope is hooked up with the Rothschilds, and they're hooked up with the Jesuits, who are also hooked up with the Order of the Garter. And so now I've pretty well described to you the cabal of those who plan the agenda. I'm throwing a little bit of Bill Gates and Elon Musk and these people who, despite not having any real scientific expertise or anything, are leading the charge in relation to worldwide vaccination. And if you wanted to examine Mr. Gates's record in relation to vaccinations and stuff, well, you know, you can make up your own mind about what the Savior looks like, which is a sheep. It's not a sheep. It's a wolf. It's for sure. Now, just in relation to Canada, due to a pandemic declared by the WHO, it's not supportable. And it cannot be supported by any scientific evidence. And there's many, many, many doctors and scientists who will testify to all the elements that need to be spoken to in order for anyone to agree that there is a pandemic. So in Canada, we're running on what the WHO said. And if you want to examine the WHO, you know, be careful. Genocide might pop up. You might see genocide in the one who runs the WHO, tracing back to Ethiopia. But it has its own backstory. You can look at it. You can figure it out yourself. But you're going to find genocide all over the place. And that's why the word needs to be spoken about. That's why Susan Stanfield said what she said. Because she's seen it before. She knows what it looks like. And I'm telling you, this is what you're in. You need to know this. You need to take a stand and rise up. Mr. Trudeau just recently appointed the head of the COVID Federal Task Force, a military brass person, to run it. Premier Ford, he just anointed an ex-NATO commander, Rick Hillier, not to be confused with Randy Hillier, I don't know which one's going to be defamed now, but I'm putting my money on Randy. The concept here is that's now been militarized. Now, in doing so, I'm wondering if the Prime Minister had in mind Article 15 of the British North America Act, because Article 15 of the British North America Act says that the command in chief of all naval and military armies in and out of Canada is hereby declared to be continued and vested in the Queen. So the Queen really is the one who has ordered the army into action on vaccines. Huh. Or did she? Well, I guess we'll have to ask him. Now, as a lawyer, I've been working with Indigenous people for 20 years. We've unraveled the story, if you will, of how this was done to the Native people. And now, I just recently read an author and said, you know, all you people have been playing cowboys and Indians for such a long time, but guess what? Now everybody's an Indian. Because what they did to the Native people, they're now going to do to you. The agenda is all about wiping out this economy. The reset they have definitely planned for a completely new way of doing business, which will be quite favorable to the elitists. And if we're around, if we are around, not so favorable. You can see what's happening to the economies around the world. You can see the harm that's being done. You don't have to talk to a first responder or a police officer or a fireman or a military man even, or a woman. More than 5 minutes to know how they're feeling about what's going on. Because they're questioning, they're wondering, what is it? So somebody needs to speak about this in this manner. Somebody has to be able to say, listen, we should pay attention, we should look, we should begin to inform ourselves about this situation. What's happening in the world right now is ostrich consciousness. So most people would rather stick their head in the sand than not really have to look at what's really in front of them. It used to be back in March, April, May, the fear was the virus. And then that increased to the fear was the fear. And now it's gone into, I'm afraid if what he is saying has any truth, then I don't want to face that. You have to ask yourself, how come the world changed so swiftly overnight? You have to ask yourself the question, did it happen overnight? Or are there signs that this was always kind of in the works? Well, let's go back to swine flu. Let's talk about swine flu for a moment. And let's talk about who were the players in swine flu. Would we find any of the same players in swine flu? Would we find Dr. Fauci? Would we find Mr. Gates? Would we find any of these players, pharmaceutical companies, tech companies, who would stand to make what it looks like they're standing to make right now, $69 billion on this false pandemic? Were they there at swine flu? Answer, yes. Is it the same people? Yes. Was it a German doctor who blew the whistle on it and said, this is fake? Yes. Is that same doctor back on the scene saying the same thing? Yes. Are they defaming him in Germany and saying he's a crack? Yes. Are people like me who talk about things like this branded as being out there and not knowing what they're talking about? Yes. But that's not what this is. There's a spiritual dimension to what's happening. It's purposeful that I sit in front of the lady in the lotus position in a meditative way. It's purposeful that I'm wearing the Indigenous symbols that have been given to me in terms of guidance, because I understand there is another dimension to this. And that other dimension, the spiritual aspect of our being, is being tested and challenged. We need to show whether or not we can stand up and cast the light and be of the light. In order for us to educate those who do not know what's going on or what's happening. It's time to rise up. I say that we should really all together adopt the Parachute Club song, Rise Up. It is a beautiful, beautiful rendition of what it is that we need to do. I'm going to be asking people if they can put some bracelets together with hashtag Rise Up. Because this is the way that this will change. Normal is never going to return. You're never going to see normal. Normal is not happening. And for them to say we're going to have a vaccine and return to normal is the same as what they said to the person when they got off the train and said, just go down there, you're going to get your supplies and everything will be fine. I'm sorry to say it in such blunt terms, but you must come to grips with this. There were Nuremberg trials. Most people don't read the Nuremberg trials. Most people don't go and look back at the Nuremberg trials. My legal team that I put together here were in the throes after getting instructions to put together a class action in relation to all the things that I'm talking to you about. Constitutional challenges to the regulations that they've brought forward because they're not based on any science. Taking a run at all the people who've put these people in harm's way. All of the people who've been had their businesses lost. All of the people who have lost relatives and friends through suicides and mental distress. All of these kinds of things need to be redressed because what's been put in front of humanity is a lie. And that lie will be redressed. And everyone should learn how to spell Nuremberg, because there needs to be a second Nuremberg trial. And that second Nuremberg trial will be of the people and by the people. There is no time left for it to stand around and be indecisive. I'd say this too. Listen to your intuition. Listen to your own gut feeling about what you see in front of you. Ask yourself deep questions, and there are answers everywhere. I want to say to Susan Stanfield that you're a very courageous human being for turning on your computer and doing a video and saying it the way you said it. Because what you're doing is you're absolutely expressing unspoken consciousness of people in the world, not just where you are, but people in the world. And people in the world need to hear that despite this dastardly agenda that they're trying to roll out on everyone, cannot last. The elitists, they can't be more than 2,000 or 2,500 people. You could put them all in the same banquet hall. There must be almost 8 billion human beings. Here's what we need to do. Stop being a human doing and become a human being. Look upon your humanity as something that needs to be protected and not controlled. Look at your humanity as being divinely inspired. Look at yourself as being the creation of the divine plan. And you can get with that plan that will assist to make this change. Viracocha.